this really be the end? To be stuck inside a movie with the Memphis Blues again.
Mona, welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Real quick before we get to our guest here, who's waiting patiently, but what happened last night in the Senate is a lesson for these guys that they acted in good faith, cut a deal on a Birmingham Waterworks bill, and thinking that they were going to get peace till the end of the session, till signing die. And what did the local opposition do? They shut it down. They shut it down, you know, with all the preliminary filibustering, and they finally got to the budget. And Senator Smitherman made them read the entire budget, which took hours. And it killed a lot of good bills. So, I we had Senator Elliott on last week, guys, and he said, I asked him, like, when you got these guys backed into a corner, and then they decide they want to negotiate, is this going to encourage this bad behavior in the future with them taking it to the brink and then wanting to negotiate? Oh, no. Well, I mean, maybe I'm right. We'll have Senator Elliott on later in the week. But I think it's pretty eye-opening for a lot of members. Anyway, I had to finish that off. But here with us from our neck of the woods, State Representative Mark Shirey from Westmobile. Doc, how are you?
I am very good, except I'm tired.
Well, you had a heck of a night. A little professional work you had to get done after y'all's late night, right?
That's correct. About 2:30 this morning, I finally got into bed, slept restlessly, and got up this morning. Was here in the State House at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, yeah. That's about time I rolled into town or into the State House. But there's been worse sessions, I guess. Even in this quadrennium, I know everybody's tired, but it's like it's not an angry fatigue. It's kind of just like it's the end of school year. I'm ready to go be out for summer kind of fatigue.
Yeah, it was just good to get the budgets out, get that done. Waiting on the Senate to go through their mechanics, and then like I say, it was good to get those budgets done and sent to the governor.
Said it, man. Studs, you love him, you hate him, the way they do things. But that last night was one for the ages. Anyway, so, here we are today. Just after tomorrow, you'll have 3 days left, another week down here. And then in case you need it, you got that extra day. How you feel about the session? What would you give it?
Out of 10, I'd say about a 7. Seven. We had a lot of bills from the House side. A lot of House bills are going to die. But
y'all got a lot of House bills. I mean, this second calendar, the House is doing its job. I don't blame you guys for taking issue with especially with members not liking the Senate, not liking their local bills get done. But I mean, it seems like you've held your end of the bargain downstairs.
Yeah, I think we've done pretty well this time. And that's credit to Speaker Ledbetter and Rules Chairman. They've done really well with their calendars this time, and I'm very pleased with those two guys.
Yeah, and, it's just sort of they're not green by any stretch, but it's not. Your Rules Chairman hasn't been here for decades and decades and decades, right?
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, so it's but it seems, I'll say this, and having watched the last couple of speakers, you're starting to see Speaker Ledbetter really is sort of thumbprint on this body, and it moves very efficiently compared to the past.
Right. I think they all work really well together. The two budget chairs, Rex Reynolds, our general fund, Danny Garrett with the ETF. That's a pretty well-oiled machine there. Both of those committees, they're really to be commended. That's a lot of work.
Well, we'll save the best, your sort of docket of bills until the next segment. But, like I said, there's going to be some things left on the table, as always. But, you guys got most of probably what you set out to accomplish from the very beginning, right?
Most of them. I had 5 bills. 3 of them are still alive. So 3 out of 5 is not bad.
That's a pretty good batting average, especially for the Alabama legislature. Yeah. All right. Well, we got Mr. Shirey with us here. We're going to carry him over to the next segment. He's, I believe, missing a very important caucus meeting to be with this program, and we're appreciative of that. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. I still show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Mallory Piping, text line time permitting. I'll try to get to your text. Some of you are just a little long-winded today. But 251-343-0106. Also, something I failed to do, as I typically do in the last segment. Coming up tomorrow on the program, well, Congressman Barry Moore kicking it off. We'll also have Congressman Gary Palmer. You guys will talk about the first 100 days. April Marie Fogle, our Thursday regular, and a guest to be named later. Probably be doing the show in Birmingham, to be honest. Going to try to make it to Tuscaloosa for the commencement address. We'll see how successful that is. I'm told there are the powers that be are working to make that happen. So we'll have more on that tomorrow as well. Still with us, State Representative Mark Shirey from West Mobile. Representative, I wanted to get some of your bills. You said 3 of 5, a pretty good batting average, but Tom, walk us through those.
So the most important bill for me right now is the HB 176. That removes the state portion of taxes on glasses and contact lens. I've worked on that bill really, really hard. Finally got it in Senate committee and was able to pass it out of Senate committee just this morning, unanimously. And I've just got to get it on the Senate calendar, get it through there, and then it's off to the governor.
That's so. And then, you know, anytime you get a break like that, I guess, is good stuff. That can be a harder fight, though. And I talked to the budget committee chairman on a regular basis. Getting one of these tax breaks, which seems like a no-brainer, and a lot of people think, well, you know, it's, government's got plenty of money. What do they care? But they're very selective on these types of bills, and it's just because we have a very fiscally disciplined sort of body now. It isn't like it was 20 years ago where they would over-appropriate and just run it till the money ran out. Now they want to make sure they aren't faced with those shortfalls. So getting like something like what you accomplished is not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, very, very difficult. I think this bill just spoke to everybody because it affects their constituents all the way from early childhood to the elderly, and disproportionately affects the elderly because of their prescriptions are more expensive just by the nature of their prescriptions. So I think that a couple of the members were actually wearing glasses, so that didn't hurt at all.
Well, it kind of goes with the age and the chair. What were the other issues you have accomplished this year, you think, potentially?
So as far as accomplishments?
I meant the other two bills.
The other two bills. I've got a bill that I'm carrying for dry cleaners. They have a fund that they self-fund that's capped at $1 million. Right now they have like $1.2 million in there, and they want to lower that to $250,000. So that their board can actually function, because if it goes below $1 million, the board can't function. And lowering it to $250,000 allows them to use that $750,000 to mitigate any cleanups that they might have from old dry cleaners, any contaminated sites, and things like that.
Oh, so it's just kind of a
it's basically a cleanup bill,
environmental like type of thing, and then I guess one more
is it's kind of an immigration bill. Right now, if with their memorandum of understanding, the sheriff department, if they get a detainer on a illegal immigrant, they actually just hold them, and then the Homeland Security will come and pick them up.
Right.
They'll do the DNA swabs then. They'll send it to the National Crime Lab. National Crime Lab has a 2.5-year backup. What my bill would do would allow the sheriff's departments to go ahead and do those swabs, send them to the state crime lab, which has a 2.5-hour backup. That way those DNA results would be in the system.
You got them on file?
Got them on file. And if they had committed a crime, a rape or something where DNA evidence was there, we'd be able to match that evidence and go ahead and make that arrest and let justice be served quicker.
Well, that's interesting. That seems like, are they doing this in other states?
They are. Yeah, I think Florida's already done it, and there's a couple of other states that have done this also.
Yeah, so, that's just what we want. We don't want these repeat offenders that are not supposed to be here anyway, and it's important to have those records. It's just funny that's, of all the problems in the federal government, that just so happens to be one of them, you know. They don't have any problem. They don't have a 2.5-year backlog on making sure the IRS collects your back taxes or whatever. But sure enough, this is not quite the priority, is it?
I think the previous administration, immigration was not a priority at all.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good assessment. Tell me something. Let's talk about crime, and that was the topic du jour coming out of last session. And now, Mobile doesn't nearly have the crime problems the other two, Montgomery and Birmingham, have, but it was a lot of worry that you would take this one-size-fits-all approach. Reed Ingram, your colleague, talking about taking over police departments. And there was, some of these guys that come here every week on the city of Mobile's behalf, just kind of a visceral reaction to that, and some of the other, Big Ten cities. But talk about it like this, and I spend a lot of time talking about those crime problems in those other cities, but in Mobile, how do these laws, some of these things that you guys did this year, bolstering Aaliyah in these task forces, how does it help a city like Mobile?
I think it does. With these task forces, it gives more resources. It shines more light on the problems that we're having. Whenever you start getting involved with local government, trying to tell them what they can and cannot do, they're always going to push back on that, which I think they should. I don't think that's our responsibility to even take over these police departments. I think it was probably a shot across the bow to say, hey, you have to do something about crime in your city. If you don't do something, we're going to. I don't think we had that issue in Mobile. We have crime. Absolutely, we have crime.
But you have a good, there's some kind of internal drama there. We won't talk about that too much, but it's not as if people are getting shot driving down Airport Boulevard by, random gunfire being paralyzed.
That's true. Hopefully not. We do have 9-year-olds being shot.
Right.
And being shot for the second time. So, yeah, we still have crime. We still have to work on things like that. But hopefully we don't have the automatic gunfire wars that Montgomery's had.
Well, it's just like the clock switch thing. Are we going to be sitting here talking about this a year from now, from the moment the clock switch bill was signed into law and implemented? I give it a year. Are we going to see a difference? Are we going to see a change? I don't know that we will.
I hope so, but I kind of think it's ingrained in the culture.
Agree.
I mean, the culture is, hey, I'm carrying a switch, if one person has it,
everybody
else person thinks they have to have it. So I think it may cut down a little bit. Glock switches were already illegal.
Right.
But, and actually the first time that bill came up, I voted against it as a Second Amendment issue. But I sat down with a federal judge, and he said, yeah, we do prosecute those, but getting it to the level of federal prosecution is sometimes can be a little tough, and that will get these people in the system faster. So I understood that, and I actually changed my vote this time, and I did vote for that bill.
Well, what I worry is it's just a, hey, we got to do something about this crime bill. It's a feel-good measure. Is it really going to do anything to move the needle or not? And, is this, it's a federal law. We frown up. We've been slapped smack down. If you remember the immigration stuff, you can't enforce federal law. Well, this is already a federal law on the books. But that all being said, like, we have a crime problem, and you're right, it's probably a culture problem, but this is not really, not even a Band-Aid. I don't know how far it goes in really fixing some of the ills that plague society.
You're right. I don't know how far it goes, but it is another tool in the box. And anything we can do to equip our boys in blue, I'm for. So you're right. It's another tool in the box. It may not be the best tool.
Yeah, but it's there, and as such as it is, we'll see. But you know, you listen to Democrat lawmakers, your colleagues, and they hit on that, and they obviously the constitutional carry stuff. They were never a fan of it from the get-go, and there's a lot of Republicans, particularly law enforcement, the Sheriff's Association. But I'm telling you, I just don't think any kind of increase in crime can be directly tied to some of the Second Amendment stuff. And until you can put that Second Amendment discussion at rest, how do you really get at the root of what really is the crime issue here?
Yeah, I don't think our constitutional carry, I do not think that contributed to crime. But, you know, we have people out there that are carrying Glock switches.
Yeah.
And we can't carry to protect ourselves. I think we absolutely should. And I was all for Stringer's bill.
Yeah. Well, it's held up, and it hadn't been, you know, and this is kind of funny that they hear, well, you were going to have all of these like negative unintended consequences. If you do this, you don't want to do that. I don't know. I haven't really noticed them. You know, crime seems to be pretty terrible just as it had been years ago. Other than some of the more anecdotal stuff, it seems to be a little more, you know, 9-year-olds and drive-bys and things like that seems to be making the headlines.
I don't think constitutional carry had anything to do with that. I think if you come down to it and we find those perpetrators, they were prohibited persons already. I don't think that bill encouraged them or discouraged them. I just don't think there's any correlation there. And from the statistics we're getting and everything like that, I don't see a bump in crime with the constitutional carry.
Talking about Big Creek Lake, it's kind of in your neck of the woods. I mean, obviously, the city of Mobile draws water from it. A lot of customers served by that lake. What do you make of this situation?
Believe it or not, I'm having a lot of people contact me about that. These people that traditionally, historically, have been able to fish on the lake, and now it's shut down. They're not happy about that. And then the solution, bringing boats in and then wanting to rent those boats, people are talking to me saying that's just a money grab. And I can see that. I would rather them put the boat wash back in, open the boat launch back out, and let us continue enjoying the lake like we have traditionally for years and years.
Yeah, it's just, and I was telling you about this off air, they are going to keep a bill that would mandate opening the lake back up from getting passed. It's just coming back next year. They may beat it next year. It's going to come back to next year. It's always going to be there. But the problem, and this is just sort of my read on it from way over in Baldwin County, but it just doesn't seem to be any willingness to negotiate some kind of settlement or do something that's, agreeable. It's just like, well, this is what we're going to do, and this is what you have to live with.
I think it's definitely an issue. With elections coming up, I think it's going to be an election issue. So maybe that drives somebody to actually do something and make some final changes.
Yeah. And you're always going to have a bill. They're going to be using their valuable time and resources to fight it off. And like I said, there's a lot of issues like that. You may win the battle by just slowing everything down. And that's the name of the game. A lot of times I get it. Like, keep a lot of the bills from getting passed. You see these guys, they talk about it in these hallways. But the problem with something like this is it's just somebody else, if not Representative Stringer, somebody else will file the bill again, and it will always be there, and they're always going to have to be fighting this off. I just, that to me is like, well, maybe these guys should come to the table, right?
Right. Well, I tell everyone, pass a good bill. We get emails all the time. Hey, you need to do a bill about this. Well, listen, passing a bill is hard. It's very hard. And it should be.
Yeah.
It should be. So, yes, there's all kind of ways to kill a bill. Running the clock out, all kind of amendments, things like that. There's tons of ways to kill a bill. But you can always bring that bill back up. And you're right. They maybe always be playing defense, but if our people are asking us to do something, we're not doing it. We're not responsive.
You're just being responsive to the public, right?
That's absolutely right.
People take issue with that. It's like, this is just a bunch of pandering politicians who just want votes, and that's all they care about. But that's your job. You've got to be responsive to the public. That's sort of the name of the game.
Absolutely. We're representatives, which means we should be listening to what our people want.
Yeah.
I'm an eye doctor. People hate paying taxes on eyeglasses. Their insurance companies do not pay taxes. So they're responsible for the taxes when their insurance companies say, hey, your glasses are free. And then we charge them taxes. It's like, wait a minute. So that's been an issue for a while.
Yeah, it was medical devices in general being taxed, especially when they're like necessities.
Right. I think we did hearing aids last year, glasses, medical device. I do not think I know of another medical device that we tax. And we were on one of six states that actually taxed eyeglasses and contacts to begin with. So, and none of our contiguous states.
That's a very Alabama statement there. Doesn't surprise me. Representative, we're taking up too much of your time this morning, but you're always welcome on the program. Don't be a stranger. We'll get you on again soon.
Well, thank you very much. Sorry I was late, but I was hung up in committee.
Hey, perfectly understandable. We're at the mercy of the business of the state here. All right, guys, we're going to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And they're slow moving.